Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by way of introduction, we have to scootle over to the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And after the birth of John the Baptist, John's father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to praise the Lord for the work that he was doing among God's people in his day. And Zacharias said this, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." All right? Then later on in this Holy Ghost inspired psalm, he says that God, through Christ, came to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death. And he said that Christ is the day spring or the dawn from on high who has come to visit us. All right, now we can go back to our gospel lesson. So, one of the themes of the gospel according to St. Luke is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the divine visitation of God among sinners for the sake of their salvation. This is an important theme. Jesus Christ is God in mercy come to visit us in order to save us from death, the devil, and damnation. So, our Lord Jesus Christ is traveling. He leaves Capernaum and he travels down to a small village by the name of Nain. And a bunch of his disciples are with him, and a crowd of people that has followed him from Capernaum. And they're out there in the country, and they're coming towards the gate of the village of Nain. And as they get close to the gate of the village, the doors swing open, and out comes a funeral procession. A bunch of guys carrying a coffin on their shoulders, and a whole retinue of people from the town, and most conspicuously, a widow woman who has just lost her only son. And so, coming this way is Jesus, his disciples, and a crowd of people. And coming this way is a funeral procession. And they meet. And this is meant to be dramatic. All right? Death is proceeding to the grave. And Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, he comes and confronts death head on. And he does it not only for the sake of the widow woman, but he does it as a sign for all of us that we may know that he and he alone is the solution to our biggest problem. And our biggest problem, I know people have lots of financial problems nowadays, and we have relationship problems, and we have family troubles, and we have disappointments and failures of all kinds that we have to contend with. But there are two concerns that are often not recognized, but that are our biggest concerns. The first one is sin, because if we die in sin, we are damned. The second thing is death. No matter what success we enjoy, no matter how many good days we get, we know that unless the Lord comes back in our lifetime, we will all face the grave and the gate of death. And therefore, it is especially comforting for us and encouraging for us to see Jesus dealing with death. So, there's a dead man carried out. He's the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Why do we have all of that information? Because women in those days were left to be taken care of when their husbands died. Their sons took care of them. This woman only had one son, and now he was dead before her, which meant that she had to live in the world with no one to care for her. She was not only bereft of her husband, she was bereft of her only son, and she was bereft of the one whose calling it was to care for her in her advanced age. So this was more than just a death. This was a particularly grievous and sorrowful death. It says, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Now, when we have compassion, it's always a good thing, and it always is a help and a comfort to those people whom we extend our compassion to. But very often we have to admit that our compassion is helpless in many situations. We feel for people, but there's really nothing that we can do except offer a kind word or a good wish or to say, I will keep you in my prayers. You know, and so when we have compassion on people, that compassion is very often well meant, but kind of helpless. But when Jesus has compassion, and this is good news for you, when Jesus has compassion, he knows exactly what to do to comfort the heart, to strengthen the faith, and to give hope in the midst of hopelessness. And so when it says that Jesus had compassion, his compassion is backed up with the power of Almighty God and the saving grace of God at the same time. And so this woman, the compassion of Jesus guarantees she is about to be helped. Now, her son doesn't need any help. His soul has gone to be with the Lord in heaven. Coming back here is a drag for him, but it's a great blessing for... Can you imagine getting to heaven and you're just kind of settling in, you know, and you're getting used to your company, and all of a sudden you're back here? No! Right? I mean, so this is not for his sake that the Lord raises him from the dead, but it's for the sake of his mother upon whom the Lord has compassion. Because those who die in the Lord do not need compassion. They are with the Lord in glory. They're better off than we are. We need the compassion. We give thanks to God that he has kept them in the faith so that they have gone to their reward in heaven in the grace of God. So the Lord has compassion on her, and he speaks a word of gospel to her. He says, "Do not weep. Do not weep." Now, when we tell a sorrowing person, "Do not weep," our words sound hollow. But when the Lord of glory, God himself, who has come into the world to visit us with salvation, when he says, "Weep not," those words are filled with hope-building power. This is God inviting us to trust him and to not weep. And then Jesus comes and he does a very uncommon thing. Now, you need to know that among the Jews in the Old Testament, if you came in contact with a dead body or with anything that was in contact with a dead body, it made you ceremonially unclean, which meant that you couldn't go to the temple, or you couldn't go to the synagogue, you couldn't touch anybody or anything like that until you had gone through a ritual purification. You had to take a bath and say the prescribed prayers and offer the appropriate sacrifice, and then your uncleanness was taken away. So people avoided like crazy touching a dead person or anything that came in contact with a dead person. And if you touched a dead person, everybody stood away from you because now you were unclean. Now Jesus, he comes and he stands before the coffin and he puts his hand on the coffin, and every eyebrow in the crowd goes up. What is he doing? Right? What is he doing? He touches the coffin. But instead of it making him unclean, he makes it the bearer of life. And the young man sits up in his coffin and begins to talk. You see, death does not bring corruption and uncleanness to Jesus. Jesus brings death-destroying life into the face of death and corruption itself. It all works backwards with Jesus. When we come in contact with death, it's corrupting. But when he comes in contact with it, he conquers it and brings life. This is a sign. This miracle is a sign that he is the very Savior of the world, the giver of life everlasting. And that when we believe in him, we are made spiritually alive. You know, what's the difference between an unbeliever and a believer? An unbeliever is spiritually dead. They are disconnected from God. They have no relationship with God and his grace. They're separated and cut off from God by their sins and their unbelief. The believer, on the other hand, the Christian believer, has been made alive to God, has been renewed by the Holy Ghost, has been converted, born again, so that they now have a relationship of grace with God Almighty. And this miracle is a sign that Jesus has come to bring life into our spiritual death, to switch the power on so that we are alive to God and we are responsive to his word. and we have hope for glory. All right, that's number one. Number two, Jesus changes the nature of physical death for the Christian. When an unbeliever dies physically, the Bible has a word for it. They perish. What does that mean? They die and go to hell. Alright, that's what the word perish means. So that for the unbeliever, physical death is the gateway to eternal damnation. But for the believer, because the penalty of sin has been dealt with by Jesus Christ when He paid for our sins on the cross, because we are the redeemed of the Lord and the forgiven sinners, death is no longer for us the gateway to damnation and hell, but it is a sweet bed of rest in which we enjoy the Lord's eternal grace. And so, whenever St. Paul in the New Testament refers to the death of a Christian, he speaks of a Christian as having fallen asleep. He's not using a funeral home euphemism, you know, like the dearly departed, you know. He's not using a euphemism. He's speaking theologically and spiritually. He says that the Christian is at rest in the grace of God. That our death is not a gateway to judgment and damnation, but it is the gateway to the presence of Jesus Christ Himself. Today, He said, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And finally, Jesus Christ is the one who, having conquered sin, death, and the devil, He descended into hell and proclaimed His victory over death, over hell, and over Satan on our behalf. And so Jesus has broken the chains of damnation for us, and Jesus has given us everlasting life with God in heaven. This is the possession and the inheritance of everyone who belongs to Christ. We're not going to hell, even though our sins deserve it. We're going to heaven. Why? Jesus has broken the chains of damnation. He's broken the chains of the devil. He's broken the chains of death. He's broken the chains of sin. And we belong to God, and by baptism are adopted into the family of God, and we are destined for wonderful things. The Bible says that the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And so, today, as we consider this miracle where Jesus raises a dead man and gives him new life and returns him to his mother, this miracle is meant to be a sign to encourage us in our faith. Let us then, like the people of Nain, glorify God. They said, a great prophet is risen up among us. Now they were right, but they weren't right enough. We know that Jesus is a prophet, but He's more than a prophet. He's the Savior. Nay, He's God Himself. All right? And then they said, God hath visited His people. There we go back to Luke 1, right? And Zacharias. Here, God hath visited His people. That when you see somebody who was dead sit up in their coffin and start talking, and then they are helped to return to their mother, you know that God has visited His people. And this visitation of God is for your sake, that you may believe it and rejoice in it. Glorify God and live every day in the hope of glory. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.